Lecture 5, Purgatorio.
Well, when we left Dante, the pilgrim, last time, he was down in the pits of the fraudulent. He continues until he gets to the very bottom of hell, which is, of course, the very center of the universe. And there he encounters Satan. It turns out that Satan is a kind of gigantic parody of the Christian Trinity. Three heads. Each of those three heads contains a sinner. And Satan is munching on each of these three sinners, on the three great traitors in the poet's scheme. Judas in the middle, and the two traitors to empire, Cassius and Brutus, on the side mouths. That's an interesting image. In fact, what Dante the poet does is use that image of cannibalism as his metaphor for the complete and total absence of love, which is, of course, the bottom of the pit of hell. Frozen, the cold generated by the flapping of Satan's wings. There are other images of cannibalism leading up to that. The last pair of sinners that the pilgrim encounters, Ugolino and Ruggieri, who sort of betrayed each other in a very complicated political situation. Ugolino is munching on the back of Ruggieri's skull. It's kind of interesting also that at the very bottom, the pilgrim doesn't stay very long at all. Doesn't stay to chat with Satan, who is so, in a sense, terrifying that there's nothing to do but to look and to go on. So that from that point of view, it almost seems as though what happens is kind of anticlimactic. But I think that two points that the poet is making. One, everything that needs to be said about evil has already been said. And two, it would be a very dangerous place to sort of hang around for any length of time. So don't stay here, or you'll get caught up in it. So at this point, the masks of evil having been stripped away, the poet continues. The pilgrim continues. And the poet knows, Dante essentially knows quite well that, you know, the sort of, if you dig the hole in the sand, eventually you'll wind up in China. If you keep going down, at a certain point you're going to be going up. And that's what happens to the pilgrim, that he sort of finds a little gap here, and he sort of along about Satan's waist, and then all of a sudden he finds himself going up, and the last sight that he sees are the legs of Satan sort of flapping in the breeze, and he finds his way up to the top, and at the end he says, I'm ready to sort of mount to the stars now. And it's at that point that purgatory begins.
Of the three parts of the Commedia, I think in some ways purgatory is the most difficult for many people to understand simply as a concept, and there are probably more misconceptions about purgatory than the other two parts of the afterlife. First of all, it's very clear, Dante in fact reads this at the beginning of his journey into hell, that hell and heaven are places of eternity. That is to say, it's where souls go forever. However, purgatory exists in time. That is to say, nobody's final resting place in the afterlife is purgatory. And that's an important distinction to make. And therefore, while hell and heaven are eternal places, purgatory in some ways still is in the temporal realm. People pass time in purgatory in a meaningful way that would not make any sense in describing hell or heaven.
Notice that that means that in purgatory, we have a progression of day and night. One way of looking at it is hell is a kind of eternal night and heaven a kind of eternal day. In purgatory, what we have is a kind of alternation of those. And that alternation not only affects the souls who are there, but also affects Dante on his climb.
Another issue is that clearly also heaven and hell are places, in quotation marks, described in Scripture. That is to say, in the New Testament, the idea of heaven and hell is fairly well defined. In the Old Testament,